Welcome to the Elite Life Church podcast. We pray this message strengthens your faith and helps equip you for living the life God created you to live. Connect with us online at elitelife.church. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and that your word is truth. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. I ask that our love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that we approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen.
Amen.
I am who the word says that I am.
I do what the word says to do.
I have what the word says that I have. I choose to open my heart and receive everything the Lord has for me today. Today, I'm continuing the series, Your Real ID. So far, we've learned that the Word of God is truth. It is the firm foundation where we gain knowledge of our true identity. Our foundational scripture has been John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. The real ID truths we've learned so far from Ephesians 3:17, I am rooted and grounded in love. Colossians 2:7, I am rooted in Christ. Colossians 2:10, I am complete in Christ. 1 John 4:11, I am loved by God as his beloved. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I am a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I am the righteousness of God through Christ. Romans 8:16, I am a child of God. And Ephesians 2:19, I am a saint. Today is part 6, Your Real ID. I've titled today's message, The Masterpiece. So when you think of a masterpiece, what do you think of? A painting, some other piece of art, maybe a sculpture, or beautiful architecture. How about a great book, a song, or a movie? One of the most well-known masterpieces in the world is the Mona Lisa. Britannica's website says the Mona Lisa is an oil painting on poplar wood panel by Leonardo da Vinci. It was painted sometime between 1503 and 1519 when Leonardo was living in Florence. And it now hangs in the Louvre Museum, Paris, where it remained an object of pilgrimage in the 21st century. The sitter's mysterious smile and her unproven identity have made the painting a source of ongoing investigation and fascination. So here are some facts regarding the Mona Lisa. Leonardo worked on this masterpiece off and on for years. He used multiple layers of oil glazes, which is evident from small cracks in the paint, particularly on the hands. After Leonardo's death, the Mona Lisa was acquired by King Francis I of France, who had invited Leonardo to work in his court. The painting became part of the French royal collection. During the French Revolution, the Mona Lisa was claimed as property of the people and was briefly hung in Napoleon's bedroom before being installed in the Louvre Museum at the turn of the 19th century. In 1911, the painting was stolen by a Louvre employee who hid it in his apartment for 2 years, hiding it at one point under floorboards before attempting to sell it in Italy. He was caught, the painting was returned to the Louvre, and the thief went to prison. During both world wars, the Mona Lisa was evacuated from Paris for safety, traveling to various locations in France to avoid potential damage from bombings.
The Mona Lisa's fame has grown over time, partly due to its theft, which brought international attention. It's now considered the most visited, written about, and parroted work of art in the world. It's considered priceless. So, what does the Mona Lisa have to do with your real ID, your true identity? Let's go to the Word of God to find out. Our anchor passage for today is Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, out of the ESV. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once walked in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespass, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What we see here is a before and after picture. Verses 1 through 3 describe what we were before coming to the Lord. Verse 4 says, but God. There's a turning point there. Verse 4 through 10 describes the work of God in our lives as born-again believers, and ends there in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The New Living Translation in Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So that word masterpiece in the ESV was translated workmanship. Let's dig in and see what that word means. The Greek word translated as masterpiece or workmanship is poema. It is where we get the English word poem. It refers to a thing that has been made, emphasizing the craftsmanship or artistry involved in its creation. The word's only used one other time in the New Testament, in Romans 1:20. For context, I'm going to start at Romans 1:18. I want to show you how the word is used this one other time. So it was used speaking of the new creation, the born-again believer. So not all of humanity, but those that are born again are the masterpiece of God, the poema of God. Here in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. Poema. So they are without excuse. That word made is the word poema. So what is that passage talking about? It's talking about the fact that the world is on display for unbelievers to see, to be pointed to God, to be directed back to the Creator. It refers to things that have been made, emphasizing the craftsmanship or artistry involved in its creation. So that was the Greek word poema. In the Old Testament, it's written in Hebrew. The Hebrew equivalent to that word we see here in Psalm 19, 1 and 2. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. That word handiwork is a counterpart to the Greek word poema. So the handiwork. Day to day pours out speech and night to night reveals knowledge. So the heavens declare the glory of God and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech and night to night reveals knowledge. What is that saying? It's saying that every day is proclaiming God's goodness, who God is to the world, to the people in the world. It's pointing them back to the Creator. On the day of judgment, nobody will be able to say, but God, we didn't have the Bible in our language. God's going to say, look at creation. They're without excuse. But God, nobody told me. Look at my creation. Look at what I put in you. Every single person is being preached to every day by the world around them if they stop and pay attention. With that, as a believer, that we have submitted to the process of the Lord's work in our life is to be a display of God's glory, of God's goodness for the world to see God in us. See, when the world looks at creation, they see his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature. That's what they see in creation of the world. But see, in a born-again believer, they're supposed to see more than just that. They're supposed to see the heart of the Father. See, Jesus came to reflect the Father to us. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because he was a perfect example of one completely submitted to the Holy Spirit to walk in the ways of God at all times and put on display for the world to see the heart of Father God. Our job as born-again believers is to reflect Jesus to the world, thereby reflecting God to the world. When people look at our lives, they should see change in our life. This Ephesians passage, the before and the after. There were things we walked in before we were born again. When we become born again, what we talked about in our last message, I am a saint. When we become born again, we have to submit to the process of sanctification in our life so that we begin looking different from the world. When we're first born again and we walk, people don't automatically see the change. They see the change through what we allow to submit ourselves to the work of the Master in our life as he puts those strokes in our life, as he brushes on, just like Leonardo put on layer after layer over the years of thin oil glazes, the Holy Spirit's work at our life, working a progressive sanctification to make us reflect the glory of the Father more and more as we submit to that process. And that's what our focus needs to be, is submitting to the process that the Father is doing in our life, allowing us to be conformed to his image. Our real ID truth for today, and what I want you to walk away knowing and remembering, Ephesians 2:10, I am God's masterpiece. We're going to continue talking about that, but your real ID truth, I am God's masterpiece, Ephesians 2:10. So going back to the Mona Lisa, I'm going to show you some parallels here because it's going to help drive home the point that I want you to get, that you are God's masterpiece. And henceforth, whenever you hear of the Mona Lisa or you see anything about it or hear someone talk about it, I want you to remember this message and remember that I am God's masterpiece. That you are God's masterpiece, that as you're submitting to the work of the master artist in your life, that you are God's masterpiece. Watch this. I'm going to rephrase those seven facts that I told you about the Mona Lisa. I'm going to rephrase them for you here, and I want you to catch this. This is so cool. The Mona Lisa 1 was created by a master artist and worked on over time. 2, purchased by the king after the death of its creator. 3, put on display for the world to see, thereby bringing glory to its creator. 4, a thief stole it, but when found out, He had to return it and go to prison. 5, the Mona Lisa was kept safe from harm through it all. 6, the fame of the Mona Lisa grew partly due to the actions of the thief. As the fame of the masterpiece grows, the glory given to the artist who created the masterpiece grows. 7, the masterpiece is considered priceless. So let's break down these parallels as you remember that you are God's masterpiece. 1, created by a master artist and worked on over time. Ephesians 2:10, NLT, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. 2 Corinthians 3:18 from the ESV says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We are being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to another. Just like Leonardo put on layer upon layer, creating this masterpiece over time. Sanctification is not a process that happens immediately in our lives. We have to submit to it throughout our life. It's said that Leonardo most likely worked on the Mona Lisa up until his death, that he continued to work on it little by little here and there. The painting was there in his work studio when he passed away. So for years, we don't know exactly how long it was worked on, but it was worked on over time. The Lord's work in your life is a progressive work over time. Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Check this out. The work that God's doing in your life may not be completed in your lifetime. What I mean by that is, the scripture here, the context of it, the greater context of this scripture is in partnership. There are things that we do as we submit to the Holy Spirit's work in our life, as we follow God during our lifetime, that is going to continue on after we're gone. After we've stepped into eternity, the things that are set in motion through our life continue on, and it's not brought to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ returns is when it's brought to completion. There are people that have had an impact on my life that have passed into eternity. But you know what? They impacted my life with the example of the life they lived, with things that were spoken over me, encouraged me, helped me see the grace of God. And even though they've stepped into eternity, what they imparted into me through the Holy Spirit is continuing on through my life. And that continues to add to their account, if you will. It continues to add to maybe the promises that God gave them, the things God spoke over their life during their lifetime, and they saw certain things that may come to pass. When it talks about the promises, when you read, I believe it's Hebrews 11, and you read about Abraham and the promises that God gave to some of the people of old, that they didn't see it completed in their lifetime, that it was still being completed in us today. That is a powerful revelation. Submit to the process of God's work in your life. The larger context of that Philippians scripture, I'm going to read Philippians 1, 3 through 7, but it shows that we are part of something so much bigger. When we partner with others, when we help others in the kingdom, when we help further the gospel of the kingdom, things happen that we're not even aware of. Lives being changed and impacted by our obedience, by us walking with the master artist, by us allowing him to continue working in our life. Philippians 1, 3 through 7. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. The impact that we have on others is going to carry on beyond our lifetime, unless the Lord returns in our lifetime. It carries on until the day of Jesus Christ. So wherever you're at in that process, do not give up. Submit to it and know that the Lord is working in your life. If you feel like things aren't working out the way you wanted them to, continue to submit to the Lord. Number two, purchased by the King after the death of its creator. John 18:37. Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Revelation 19:16. On his robe, speaking of Jesus, and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is the King. Purchased by the King after the death of its creator. See, though, with us, our creator had to die so that he, the King, could purchase us to be his own treasured possession. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." We are to glorify God in our body. And the way we do that is submitting to the process of sanctification in our life to allow the Lord to work things out of our life and bring things into our life so that we can reflect his glory to the world. 1 Peter 1:18-19 says, "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." Purchased by the King after the death of its creator. Your creator went to the cross to purchase you so that you could be his possession. Number three, put on display for the world to see to bring glory to the artist behind it. Matthew 5:14-16, ESV, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." You are on display for the world to see. When people go to look at the Mona Lisa, it brings glory to its creator. Wow, Leonardo da Vinci was amazing. Look at this work. Look at how it changed a whole genre of paintings. This is beautiful. This is amazing. People travel from all over to see it. You are God's masterpiece as a born-again believer. Number four, a thief stole it, but when found out, he had to return it and go to prison. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Amen. See, the Mona Lisa was hidden under floorboards at one point. Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt walked over, walked all on by the enemy? Have you ever felt like your life didn't matter, that you were hidden away and that the enemy was stomping all over you? Yep. Don't give up. It's not over. Amen. Allow even in that moment, Allow the Lord to be doing a work in your life, knowing that the Lord has the final say. No matter where you find yourself in the process of what God's called you to, in the process of walking out your life, whether or not you are on display right now for the world to see and having people gawking at you, or you're hidden under floorboards getting walked on, that doesn't change your value and your worth. And you know what this said? You know what this said? It said that what the thief stole, because the thief stole it, it brought greater glory to its creator because it brought more renown, more people heard of it. When the enemy comes at your life, know this, God is faithful. God is a God of restoration. He desires to restore people. He desires to bring people to a good place. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He came to give us life and life abundantly. James 4, 6 to 7 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you are in a process of feeling walked all over by the devil, first and foremost, your first thing to do is to make sure that you are humbling yourself before God. Because he gives more grace. That means there is more grace to be had in your life. If you feel like you're lacking grace to walk through a situation, humbling ourselves before God and crying out to God and allowing God to give us more grace, more empowerment to walk through it, we get that through humility. By humbling ourselves, by submitting to God and resisting the devil. So resist the lies of the devil. Resist the bombardment of his attacks that come at you when you're in that moment and you feel like it's worthless and you feel like you're stuck under a floorboard somewhere and it's never going to get better. Shut down the lies that it's never going to get better. Mm-hmm. As a born again child of God, it's going to get better.
Yeah.
Let your life be a testimony of the King. It's not about us. It's about him. Mm-hmm. Look at this. We see this at the end of Job. The very end of Job, the last chapter of Job, after Job's gone through all this stuff, after the enemy has stolen from him time and time again. We see here in Job 42, verses 10, 12 to 13, and 16 to 17. I'm going to read those verses. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons 4 generations. And Job died an old man full of days. You know what Job did? Job humbled himself and received more grace. He submitted to God. He humbled himself and submitted to God. And God restored to him twice what he had before. When the enemy's coming after you, remember the thief, when he was found, it was given back with more glory than it had before, with more renown than it had before, which also brought more value to it than it had before. So it was restored, but not just restored, it was restored as more valuable than it was prior to the enemy stealing. And the thief went to prison. The devil's fate is sealed. Matthew 25, 41 says, the king will turn to those on his left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. That was the NLT. The eternal fires of hell are prepared for the devil and his demons. His fate is sealed. He doesn't get to keep what he steals. And ultimately, when he goes to steal from believers, as you submit to God, it brings more glory to your Creator than previously, because there is a testimony that comes out of every trial of God's goodness as we cling to the promises of God and we focus on God's goodness in our life. And focus on humbling ourselves before God and leaning to him, the master, the creator. Number 5, The Mona Lisa was kept safe through it all. Throughout this world that we live in, there's all kind of stuff that goes on. But when we submit to God in our life, and we allow Him to work in our life, nothing's going to take us out of season as we focus in on submitting to the Lord. 2 Timothy 4, 16 to 18. This is Paul speaking towards the end of his life. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me, the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul walked through trial after trial after trial in his life, but the Lord kept him safe through all of those things so that he could complete the work that the Lord had for him to complete. Now, this doesn't mean that nothing can ever happen. He spent time in prison. He had beatings. He had all kinds of crazy things happen in his life, but he was kept alive so that he could continue preaching the message that God had for him to preach. Submit to the process of God in your life. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're walking through, know that God has a plan in your life. And even though we can't always see it, we can rest on God's goodness to be continuing to shape us as His masterpiece. Number 6, the fame of the Mona Lisa grew partly due to the actions of the thief. As the fame of the masterpiece grows, the glory given to the artist who created the masterpiece also grows. Romans 8:28 from the ESV says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." The NIV translates that same verse, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." God is not the one necessarily bringing all things. But in all things, He's working for the good of those who love Him. The enemy was the one that came and stole the painting. But see, when the painting was stolen, it actually increased its value. It increased its notoriety. It increased its desirability for the world to see it because it went through something. When we go through something and we come out on the other side, it allows the world to see God's glory at a greater level because God's the one that brought us through. We see here in Genesis 50, verse 20, this is speaking of Joseph. The enemy meant it for evil, but God was able to mean it for good, to bring good out of the situation. In Genesis 50, verse 20, it says, "As for you," this is Joseph speaking to his brothers, "as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." No matter what the enemy wants to do in your life, know that God is able to work it for good. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And point number 7, the masterpiece is not for sale, it's priceless. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 again says, "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." In 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." Your King paid a high price for your life. Choose to submit to His process in your life. Choose to submit to the master artist and allow Him to do the work in your life that He desires to do. Back to Romans 1:20. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Allow your life to be the proclamation for the world to see the Father's heart, to see God's goodness. Know that it is a work of God. It's not something that you have to do. This is not something where you have to struggle and strive to do it. It is submitting to him, humbling ourselves, and allowing him to work in our life. Amen. You don't have to stress out over this. The Mona Lisa wasn't sitting there in Leonardo's workshop stressing over the process. The Mona Lisa simply sat there and allowed the master artist to work on it over time. It wasn't stressing. Are you gonna get done? You gonna get done? What if someone sees me? I'm not fully done. Like, it doesn't think that way. It's a painting. What's crazy is there's a lot of people that don't understand their value, that don't understand their worth, that think that the Mona Lisa is worth more than they're worth. It's priceless. But you know what? If it sold, we're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe even in the billions of dollars. But each one of you are far more valuable to God than that. You are one of a kind. Don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you that you're just one of many, that there's lots of people out there and you're not unique. You know what? There's lots of paintings too. The Mona Lisa is one of a kind. You are one of a kind. But more importantly, you are created by the master artist. You were purchased. What creates the value of a painting? I was looking at it this last week, looking at some different paintings and some value in them. And one of the interesting things is in the really high-end art market, they talk about the fact that the value is pretty subjective. It more has to do with what someone's willing to pay for the painting than anything else, because there's been paintings that have ended up selling for way more than they anticipated they'd sell for because multiple billionaires got in a bidding battle over it to see who could have the possession as one of theirs. So what drove the value of it was the one who chose to purchase it and put a price on it. A lot of paintings they say are priceless because they've never gone to market. So we don't know what they would actually fetch in an open market. But when some of these masterpieces go up for sale, and billionaires get to fight over them or bid against them, it drives the price up based on what someone's willing to pay. Your value was based on what the king was willing to pay for you. And it wasn't with perishable things such as silver or gold. You know what that means? There is no silver and no gold in the world that could equate to your value. It was a precious blood of Christ. Christ's blood. There was no other. There was no other sacrifice. No one else besides God himself as a son of God that could come and pay that sacrifice. The price that was paid for our life is beyond our comprehension. We have been purchased by the master. Now, because of that, my encouragement to you when you go out, just like last week, it was last teaching, that you are a saint and be remember that you are a saint. And as a result of being a saint, you act differently. When you think of yourself and you realize that you are a masterpiece, that you are God's masterpiece, it allows us to submit to that process of sanctification that we talked about to allow the master artist to continue to transform our lives from one degree of glory to another. Watch how this breaks down in Ephesians 2:1-10. I'm going to go through it again, but I want to emphasize some things in the first four verses and then, in the first three verses and then some things in the latter verses, because I want you to see something that it is, the first part of it is things that we were doing. We were following, we were doing all this. The second part, it's God working in our lives and us submitting to that process. It's not something for us to be striving about and stressing about. It's something for us to be submitting to humbly. Verse 1, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins which you once walked, following the course of this world, following what everybody else did, following just the path of what you see going on. When we follow the world's way of doing things, we're not set apart. We don't look set apart. We are set apart, but when we choose to follow the world's way of doing things, it doesn't make us stand out. Before we were born again, we were following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. We don't follow that anymore. Verse 3, among whom you all once walked in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind. We no longer carry out the desires of our body and mind because we were purchased by the King. And we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. I love the way verse 4 starts. But God. Notice it doesn't say, but you. It's not, but you made the right choice. But you did good. But you made the right choice. But you decided to change things. No. But God. But God. It, look, if it started that way, but God, don't try to complete in the flesh what God began in the spirit. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us. All about God. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We have nothing to boast of in it. If we didn't start out that way, don't try to complete it that way. We've got to submit to the process of sanctification so that we can continue being transformed from one degree of glory to another into the image of Jesus. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10 NLT, we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. In closing, the real ID truths we've learned so far. Number one, Ephesians 3:17, I am rooted and grounded in love. Number two, Colossians 2:7, I am rooted in Christ. Colossians 2:10, I am complete in Christ. 1 John 4:11, I am loved by God as his beloved. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I am a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I am the righteousness of God through Christ. Romans 8:16, I am a child of God. Ephesians 2:19, I am a saint. And Ephesians 2:10, I am God's masterpiece. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message. I thank you, Father, for being the privilege of being your masterpiece. Father, I thank you that you are working in my life over time. I thank you that you don't force it all at once, but you allow us to submit to you. You are so patient and so gracious to allow us, Father, to submit our lives to you and allow you to continue working your process of sanctification, continue working and transforming our lives from one degree of glory to another to look like you. Father, right now, I just pray for anyone listening that may be in that season of feeling walked all over by the enemy, that may feel like they're hidden away and nobody's going to find them, or may feel like their life is worthless because they're stuck under some floorboard somewhere. Father, I thank you, Lord, that there is hope in you. And right now, I just speak to hope in their life. I call out hope in their life. I thank you that they cling to the hope that they have in you as their master artist, and know that even in this season, Lord, that you are working on their behalf, that you are working behind the scenes. Father, I thank you that it is for your glory, that you bring great glory from everything that the enemy meant for evil in any of our lives. Lord, I pray for those right now that are on display for the world to see, that are up and have people gawking at their lives. Lord, I thank you that even in any situations that people walk through, that you are still at work in their life until the day of Christ Jesus, and that your story is still being written through the hearts of those of us that are here. Father, I thank you that as we continue to walk with you, humble ourselves before you, resist the devil and have him flee, Lord, that we walk humbly before you and submit to you in every area of our life. I thank you that each of us submits to your process of sanctification in our life. I thank you for the good work that you are doing as the master artist. I thank you for the great privilege of being purchased by the King to be on display for the glory of the King. I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is Pastor Tim Howe. Thank you for listening. For additional resources to help you live an elite life, visit EliteLifeMinistries.com.